Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
This morning, I want to talk to you, students, about something that's near and dear to my heart. I've written, co-authored a number of books. This book here called Leading Change is a book that I've written. I think it's in its sixth edition. It's had about 450,000 people buy it. It's in being used in 14 universities as a supplemental material for leadership. And I have written on this most of my life. And I haven't spoken to this university yet on leadership, really. And I just want to start out by reading you a story. Andrea Grossman started with a red heart sticker that she designed in a college classroom. She was concerned that everyone needed red heart stickers. And every time she went to look for red heart stickers to send to her friends to show that she cared, she could not find red heart stickers. So Ms. Grossman decided, right in college, I'm going to start putting out my own red heart stickers. She designed them. More than 350 designs that she developed while in college. And she borrowed $1,700 from a friend, her sister, in fact, a sister and a friend. And that turned into sales that this, as of this writing, had grown to $20 million. She builds her idea on red heart stickers can make a difference in a life. This year, they printed 15,000 miles of stickers, enough to circle the entire globe. Her company that she runs has a motto, people first, because everything she does with red heart stickers is about people. One little idea, borrowed $1,700, a $20 million company, all to lift the spirits of people. Do you think you could do that? You think you could do something like that? Do you think you could be a leader? Well, today I want to give you some steps from the life of my favorite biblical character, a man named Joshua. And Joshua, as I have studied and written many articles and ideas about Joshua, Joshua was the man that was willing to take on mountains, he and Caleb. They were willing to do great exploits for God. The passage that I'll read to you this morning found in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3. I will give you a place. Stay with me, please. Okay, we're in the slides. Are they not going forward here? Okay, something not working this morning? There we go. I will give you a place where you set foot as I where you set your foot as I promised Moses. The territory which will extend from the desert to the Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong, courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their ancestors and to give them. Be strong, be courageous. Do you think that phrase might have something of importance since we've already heard it here? Be careful to obey the laws that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to the right or left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Students, as you prepare here at Columbia International University, you are being prepared to be the leaders of the next generation. I remember my wife and I went to Bible college in Florida. We got out of Bible college. Some of you will graduate this year. And we said, okay, what's next? After a couple of years, we ended up at a small church in West Virginia, a Wesleyan church. And we were in Terra Alta, West Virginia, which means high firma, high ground is what it means. We literally had 200 inches of snow each year. You can understand why we wanted to move to South Carolina. The 200 inches of snow, we were told that, and everyone told me, they said, Mr. Smith, you're going to need to get you a Preston County Cadillac. And I said, what is that? And they said, that's a four-wheel drive truck. Everyone needs one. The first snow that we had, we were getting ready for a Sunday service, and the forecaster said it's going to snow. So on Friday, the snow started. And on Sunday morning, there was 60 inches of snow from Friday to Sunday morning. It took me hours to shovel out just a small path to my truck, which I had one then, a Preston County Cadillac at that time. But when I tried to move the truck, I suddenly realized the snow was up to the top of the door. It was as tall as I was. You weren't going anywhere. And one of the things I had done, which to this day I feel really bad about, was I had joined the rescue squad. I don't feel bad about that. But we were getting beeper calls over and over to come and give emergency care to people, and no one could get out of our drives. So all day long, I shoveled snow. That afternoon, the National Guard came in with huge machines and began to shovel or begin to plow all that snow out of the way. Debbie and I will never forget. But we got there, and we're at this place where there's 27 people. Not everybody goes to a mega church to start out with, okay? 27 people were there, and they were saying, pastor us, love us, feed us, lead us. A church of 27 in a town of 1,700. What do you do to lead them forward? And so Debbie and I did what I had learned in Bible college, and it's one of the reasons I wanted to challenge you this morning. I sat down, not just taking out my notes to study for Scripture, but I said, what does this community need? And I said, this community needs someone to care and love them. So we came up with a little slogan, this is the church who cares. Come to Terra Alta Wesleyan Church. And then Debbie and I decided we couldn't just count on them coming. So we went out, and we that first year visited 800 homes to introduce ourselves to the community. And do you know what happened? People started coming to church because someone was trying to lead. A man in my church walked up to me and said, Pastor, so-and-so needs God. They're dying of cancer. And I looked at him and said, great, Gordon. Come with me. Tonight I'll go meet with this man, but you're going to be with me. And we began to start two by two. I didn't want to just lead him to Christ. I wanted Gordon to know how to lead him to Christ. And I wanted Gordon to be a leader. And I said, Gordon, let's go. And that evening we went and prayed with a man to help him find Jesus Christ. And the second time that happened, and a third time, and a fourth time. And on the fourth time I said, Gordon, you are prepared. Go lead the man to Christ, and your pastor will cheer you as you go do that. Gordon became one of those men that ended up leading the entire West Virginia district in missionary activities, taking trip after trip. He had never been out of West Virginia, and he took trip after trip to South and Central America to help build churches. Gordon became a leader. Students, when you leave here, it doesn't matter if you're 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. It doesn't matter if you're 24. God's calling you to be the next generation of leaders. And that's what this institution is preparing you for. We are not preparing you to sit back and be as some of the things we found in our research. Here are some thoughts. Dr. Lindsay and I, as we were writing this book called Leading Change, found this. Life takers are fearful, dependent, procrastinators, many times lazy. Don't hear that word much today. I guess it's not politically correct. But there's a lot of it out there. They're uncooperative. That's what a person who just wants to go through life and whatever comes at me, okay. That's a life taker. But a world-changing leader is someone that had these characteristics: confident, inspired, motivated, cooperative, energized. Energized by the Spirit in our Christian circles, cooperative within the church circle, motivated toward a mission for Christ. Now, here's some truths that we discovered as we began to do our research and came to some generalities that we'd produce. First, 87% of the world's populations, we quickly discerned, were life takers. In other words, as the world turns, just whatever happens is fine. We found out that 10% are dreamers. They sit around and say, oh, if I could do something about that. And we found this in our studies, that about 3% of the world get the job done. They're the leaders. They're the CIU grads. They're the CIU alums that I go meet, like Steve and Arlene Richardson, where I was at his father's funeral, Don Richardson, and a leader extraordinaire, if you were to say, of Pioneer Missions, that person, Steve Richardson, who's leading it now, those are the ones who get the job done. So it led me and then led Dr. Lindsay and I to do some work and come up with a little definition that I want to share with you this morning. Leadership challenges the status quo. Leadership, secondly, motivates others. This is what leaders do. In other words, we're not content just to be like we are. We want to be the people who bring about some great things to improve the situation. We motivate others. We enable through resource organization. That's what I do now as president. Many times when I'm not here, I'm out gathering resources so this investment in you can continue. Donors giving to that. That's part of investment and part of leadership. And leaders implement visions. These four characteristics are part of what leadership is. So if I can show you, and I won't go into it, but sometime if you'd like to sit down and discuss leadership, I can have an in-depth leadership study with you. We see that leaders, there's a model that's developed that all of you could see. Can you put up the model, please? This model is what Dr. Lindsay and I worked on for a number of months and even into years as we built the PhD program at Indiana Wesleyan University. It was a joy to be involved in that. And this model is one where first there has to be, if you want to change your world, not the world, you will change the world if you change your world. And it can start as simply as in your own life, something that you need to change, starting to change it. But if you want to change your world, you have to decide, I'm going to make a difference in the world. Secondly, you conceptualize vision, you develop a plan, you assess results, you determine leadership strategies, and you collaborate with the team. And if you imagine have illumination, destination, determination, coordination, and culmination, if I could go in and explain what all that means, this model works, and I've used it for the last 30 years of my life. Right here's the leading change model that Dr. Smith and a number who have been taught this in their doctorate programs have used. It's something maybe we can't go into today, but something I wanted to share with you. So let's go to Joshua. And let's talk about Joshua. There are several characteristics in Joshua's life, reasons that I love him. First of all, Joshua was a man of character. Well, let's look at his character. Joshua patiently developed character while serving Moses for over 40 years. Every day, he did what was expected of him. He taught Joshua about the law, Deuteronomy 31, verses 9 through 13. Read it repeatedly, over and over. If you want to be a person of character, let me give you wise, wise counsel this morning. Here's where you can find all about character. The Word of God is what we believe and emphasize at CIU. And the reason we believe and emphasize it is you will be saved a life of trouble and destruction if you will follow the Word of God. You can follow this book. I promise you, you will be safe if you follow this book. You can destroy a lifetime of character in a moment of carelessness. I know that's farther down, but I want to stop just a moment. It only takes one incident. Could Prez talk to you for a moment, students? Could you just listen to me for one moment? You know what I'd like to see this semester? I'd like to, in my time, 20-some years of serving, I'd like to go through one semester without one discipline issue. Pipe dream. Keep dreaming, Prez. Not gonna happen. I'm going to create some problems. No, just one time. I want one time, one class, one semester. Lord, 1 week. To go through without there being a discipline issue. Because discipline issues always come back to character issues. Now share with me just for a few moments. Let's look together. Characters built on the law of God. The Ten Commandments reflect God's desire for character. Now, let me say this to you. Character is built daily as we are filled with the Spirit of God and He directs our lives. You say, I can't live the right kind of life. I can't live a whole semester and not do something wrong. Let me say to you, if you are filled with the Spirit of God and daily the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you, you will be shocked at what God can do to keep you living a victorious Christian life. You can't, in and of your strength, be a person that doesn't this semester get into trouble with discipline. Now, some of you are pretty good people, but the Holy Spirit is what works in our lives to say, stop, slow down, don't do that, be careful, stay away from that, don't touch, don't drink that. Someone said to me not long ago, Dr. Smith, is drinking wrong? Ooh, everybody's waiting for that answer now. Let me just say this to you. We're not to be drunk with wine, we're to be filled with the Spirit. The Scripture tells me that wine is a mocker. Wine will destroy you. Dr. Smith, is drinking wrong? Let me say this to you. I'm 53 years old, I've never had a drink. Not even one. Not tasted it in any shape, form. Is that okay, Dr. Smith? Is that bad? Is that good? Let me say this to you. There's a lot of situations that I could have gotten into that God has kept me from as His vessel that I say, thank you, God, for keeping me out of, because the Holy Spirit's checked me. I was standing in a college classroom, and four guys who rode with me to college every day when I went to community college, starting out at Surrey Community College, every Friday afternoon, I was the designated driver because the other four guys got drunk in my car or in their car, wherever. And I was a driver because I wasn't drinking. Just imagine if I decided I was going to drink. I might not even be here today. We could have had a horrible accident. I could have gotten arrested. I could have DUIs across my record. I could have gone out and done something horrible. I could have raped someone. I could have killed someone. I could have done all kinds of things. The danger is this. The commandments of God are given to you so that you will develop the right kind of character. And then the New Testament goes on and Christ says he fulfills the law. So I don't have to say, oh, I can't drink. I enjoy living in the Spirit of God. I never even think about it. It's not about drinking or not drinking. It's about living so passionately for God till I want the right kind of character, till he is he's making me an example to a world to see. Now, I've lost some of you right here. But let me say something to you. You can go deep enough with God, you get past the Ten Commandments. And you start living passionately for a Savior you love. And it's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's a list of how much can I love God. And the Holy Spirit's the one who's going to guide you with regard to that. See, it only takes one moment of time to destroy your ministry. One time. NFL is a good example right now. Great football players, only making 20, 25 million. Just a little bit of change to what we all are going to make in ministry, you know? One moment. Mr. Hunt, Kansas City Chiefs, heading possibly to the Super Bowl. He won't be a part of the Super Bowl because he abused and beat up a girlfriend. One moment. Guess what? Most likely under the influence of alcohol. One moment. One moment and you're out of school. Oh, is that a threat, Dr. Smith? No, that's not a threat. You've seen it happen. I've seen it happen every semester for the last 20 years. One bad decision. Character, carelessness in character. So Joshua had character. 40 years, faithful, 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 faithful. Moses, what do you need? How do I help you? How do I be involved? See, God wants to transform you with his Holy Spirit. I teach this to my boys every day. I teach this to Micah, who's 14 every day. Micah, let's talk about your character. I asked him this morning, how's your thought life? Are you having victory in your thought life? Are you keeping a pure mind? Are you following the word of God? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalms 119. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to God's word. When I was a young man and I was excited about the possibilities of getting married someday and I was looking for the right lady, I was saying to God at the same time, keep my mind pure, keep my mind cleansed, help me to do the right things, help me to be the right kind of young man. Those things can happen when we are people of character. And the word of God, the character, is formed by the law of God and the Spirit of God dwelling within. Character is built faithfully, daily, in discipline. Micah and I had a discussion before we went to bed last night. Micah, did you pray today? Did you have your Bible time? Why do those crazy disciplines? I just heard a speaker, a well-known evangelical speaker say, you don't have to live that way. Oh, yes, you do. I want the word of God in my heart constantly till the Holy Spirit's checking me at every area and every turn of any danger that might come my way. Joshua had character. Secondly, Joshua had a calling. He had a divine calling to lead. Joshua 1:1, the Lord spoke to Joshua. It's your turn to lead, son. You get ready. Let me say something to you that I heard years and years ago Dr. Bob Jones Sr. say. God always has a prepared place for prepared young men and young women. God always has a prepared place. The call of God requires surrender and immediate obedience, following Christ with our hearts. I love Mark. Can you imagine that, the book of Mark? I love that book. You know why I like the book? Because a lot of it was wrapped up in my own character. The key words, a few key words in Mark are straightway and immediately. And you see it in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 and 18. When the disciples were being called, they immediately left their nets, verse 18, and followed him. Do you want to know how to know the call of God on your life? Immediately obey him. Don't hesitate. Immediately do what he says. Don't wrestle with it. Calling in your life. In order to, understand your call in your life, you got to have a clear mind. You need to have a sense of your giftedness. God doesn't ask us to do things that we aren't necessarily equipped to do as far as our giftedness and our talent. For example, I'm going to sing for you this morning. You tell me if I should go be on The Voice or The American Idol or whatever. Away in a manger, no care for a bed. I probably could make the first round, couldn't I? Yeah? What do you think? And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as he tarries there, none other has ever known. A little different? See, part of calling is God doesn't ask. I used to have this young lady that would come to our church, that church Debbie and I would talk about, and she would get up to sing on Sunday mornings because she felt, her grandmother felt she needed to sing. I only had 26 people, so we had to use what we had, okay? And she did like I did on the first one. She was always off tune. And she came to me and she said, I feel God's calling me to be a worship leader. And Debbie and I were like 24 and like, oh, dear Jesus, have we come to this? It's like the minister that I met who said, Dr. Smith, can you help me? A young guy who was going into ministry, he said, I absolutely love to preach, but I hate people. You think I'll make it in the ministry? I can't stand to be around people. Well, let me share something with you. God's probably not calling him to ministry. So there's clear sense in your mind. There's giftedness. There's a skill set that God wants. There's a growing love in your heart for what God is calling you to do. There is complete and immediate trust and obedience with God on the call. There's a desire to glorify God more than anything in your life. These steps will start to occur. Joshua was ready to answer the call. Students, let me ask you a question this morning. Are you ready to answer the call? Some of you need to understand something. At 18 years old in a residence hall, God spoke to me, not audibly, but the sense of my spirit was, okay, you were going to be a veterinarian, right? And give 8 years of your life to studying dogs and cats and horses and cows? Like, yeah. And I felt the Lord as I knelt in prayer say, give me the same 8 years of study and prepare yourself for Christian college service. We don't have many people that are prepared to be presidents. And so for the next 12 years, I just prepared and prepared and prepared. Never deviated. 39 years old, was asked to be a college president, all by following immediately God's call. Thirdly, his competence. Look at Joshua. He observed and learned from Moses. He watched Moses lead through delegation. He was there as Moses decided and worked with his father-in-law to learn how to delegate and work with 2 million people. He was there as a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. He experienced that. He was there faithfully serving Moses. He got the job done. He had been trained for years and years to do the job. You will not always immediately go out and be put into the first chair. But if you're asked to take out the garbage, do it faithfully. And someone will recognize. I sat yesterday with a student. They came to my office and said, talk to me about leadership. I love this young man. He's going to be a fantastic leader. And as we sat there and talked, he said, tell me what it takes to be a leader. And I said, right now, faithfully study, prepare, do your best in college. Start leading while you're here. I was a student government president. I didn't ask to be the student government president. Folks saw, I guess, there was something there, some type of leadership skill, so I did that. And that's led all the way through my life, this whole idea of faithfully doing whatever it takes. I was at a camp 5 summers ago, a youth camp, and I volunteered to clean the bathrooms. And they were like, Prez, you can't do that. You're the Prez. Wrong. When you learn to be a servant leader, you can do whatever for the cause of God. Faithfully, faithfully, faithfully doing what's right. Faithfully serving. Fourthly, Joshua had courage. Courage always comes, now get this, courage always comes from character, calling, competence, and confidence in God. You won't have courage if you've not been prepared. I left Hope Sound Bible College, went to University of Kansas to get my master's degree. I wanted to go out and do it in a secular setting to find out what the world was like and see if all that I'd been taught at Bible college really worked. I could lead people to Jesus, so I went. My very first class, Dr. Barrientos, a little Guatemalan professor, walks into my classroom. First session says this. You see this desk? The essence of deskhood is, first of all, you can hear it when I knock on it. Secondly, you can see it. That's the essence of deskhood. Thirdly, the essence of deskhood includes some flat surface with some supporting device underneath. We were a philosophy of education class. He was going through the isms, and he was presenting the first one. But here's the thing that staggered me in the first 5 minutes of my first graduate class. And you say, when you can see, feel, when I knock, you can hear. You say there's a God when you can't see him, feel him, hear him. What's this mythical character called God? And 45 people ducked their heads in the class at the University of Kansas. And he said, your assignment this semester is onefold. You will do a 15 to 25 page paper on this subject. What is your philosophy? You must have resources to support your philosophy. You must compare it to the 7 other isms. And that project is all you will do. There'll be no quizzes. There'll be no tests. That's your philosophy. Do it. And so I wrote and took a topic and wrote on biblical authority as the whole idea of what my philosophy of education was. Being under the submission of God and under the submission of the Bible. And I wrote that paper, and I did it scholarly. I was not going to fail that class, no way, on the fact that I didn't do a scholarly presentation. First grad class, coming out of Hope Sound, admitted provisionally because they weren't accredited at the time. They were accredited they had just received their accreditation, I guess 88 is when they did. So I go there, and so when I got the paper back, 35 out of 36 points. He awarded me 35 out of 36 points, and here's what he wrote. Because I presented tons of scripture in that paper, and he wrote, "Sir, I wish we had time to talk. You have challenged me deeply." It may be his only time that he heard the word presented. You know what did that? I was prepared by a Bible college, competent, and God gave me courage. Now, this whole idea of courage, the Latin word comes from the word heart. The Hebrew word has something to do with heartedness, a willingness to take action. Typically, that's referred to as in a stubborn way, but it also has something to do with the hands. But it always, courage always relies in these passages on a source that's greater than us. It's the courage to take a stand because God is our helper. Students, this morning, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to be leaders. And if you'll take these four characteristics and you'll work through them, you'll find that God can use you. Let's go to the last slide, guys, just for a moment here. One more. Here's four things, as I summarize, that Joshua did over and over and over as Joshua is a leader, as I studied his life, four things he did. And here's a little model for you as leaders. If you want to be a leader at CIU, you want to be a leader as the world, as you leave here and go out into the world to impact the world, impact the nations. He prayed and worshiped in God's holy presence before he ever did anything. As a leader, he prepared the people with hearty provisions. The word, food, supplies, whatever it took, he did this to move them forward. These are his actions over and over. Study the book of Joshua. Over and over, he did the same four actions. Number three, he presented them a plan with a heavenly purpose. We are going to go over into Canaan land, and we're going to smite whoever, whatever army. And the plan will move forward the children of Israel closer to the goal that God has for them. And fourthly, he always built an altar or praised and worshiped with the people when he was done. You want to be a leader this morning? At CIU this semester, start. Find you a cause. The school systems around us, we have the lowest reading scores in the state of South Carolina. Who's going to change? The poor population around us, who's going to feed them? You want to be a missionary? Let's start at home. The trash all around us, who's going to pick it up? That's being a servant of Jesus Christ. People need Jesus all around us. Don't tell me you're going to lead somebody to Jesus on some trip that you're going to take when you aren't doing it right here. Let's do it right here. Let's start being leaders. And in our attitudes and our actions and our discipline, let's start being leaders. Let's be the first class ever in all of CIU's history to say, we had no discipline issues this semester. That'll take every single one of you being a leader to saying, I'll stay out of trouble. I'll not get with the wrong crowds. I'll not look at the wrong sites. I'll not get involved in porn. I'll not get involved in doing the things I shouldn't do. I'll be a leader. I'll be one. And God will give us a revival, a blessing that you haven't seen if you will make that commitment to be a leader for him. Please stand. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you this morning for your blessing to us. Thank you for these students. May they be challenged to be leaders as Joshua was. May they be prepared. It's their turn. Dr. Smith, in a few years, will be gone. Dr. Jones, even fewer years. Dr. Rogers, Dr. Brian Bauer, Dr. Harvey, we need replacements. We need these students to understand they are being prepared to be leaders. Use them for your glory. And may in everything we do as we lead, may God be glorified. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.